take your Bible, would you please, and turn to Mark chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2. When you arrive at Mark 2, find verse number 1. Mark chapter 2, verse number 1. And once you have found Mark chapter 2, verse 1, why don't you stand with me? We'll stand in reverence to the Word of God. Mark chapter 2, I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently, and I'm going to read with you the first 5 verses. The Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And let's pray. Father, bless us with thy presence. God, help us tonight to realize how important Jesus is. Tonight, we want to exalt your Son. God, not only do we want to exalt him, we then see the benefit of lifting up Jesus Christ. Bless us with thy Spirit's presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. This morning, I announced to you the title of this evening's sermon. I call it Jesus, Our Promotion. Some of you would understand the term, as I would use it, a promotion or a promotional item. Earlier, I told you, because Mother's Day is next week, we're going to give away a book to all the mothers, very attractive book. Now, the book is a wonderful gift within itself, but it's also a way that we give something to someone and they may come to church as a result of it. They're not only going to get that book, you do realize they're going to end up getting the preaching of the Word of God that goes along with it. What is a promotional item? Now, because we're an old-fashioned Baptist church, we do understand promotional items. The promotional item is it's a giveaway. It's a product, if you will. Maybe it's a sample of something. It's something that is made available as a gift to draw people. It's something that stirs interest. I got to thinking about some of the things that I have used through the years to stir interest, or things that I would give away as a gift to people that would come to church. Even little fun things that we would do that because we advertised or we promoted those things, it got people involved. They would receive something, and some of it might be a little bit of entertainment, a little bit of fun, and maybe it's monetary or a gift. But some of the things that we would use to get people involved in church. Mrs. Owens and I, when we were very, very young, I was a youth pastor, and we overseen a youth department, and we had a contest between the boys in the youth department and the girls in the youth department about bringing visitors to church. And the way it worked was, she was the captain of the girls' team, I was the captain of the boys' team, and whoever's team lost at church on a Sunday had to kiss a pig. Now, poor Mrs. Owens did not want to lose, and if I remember correctly, who won that thing, Mrs. Owens? Did I win? Okay. I kind of thought maybe I lost that competition. But, you know, people came from everywhere, and they wanted to be a part of that thing, and I wish I had time to tell you the whole story, but that night we had a pig, and somebody, moi, I kissed the pig. But what we were promoting something. We were stirring things up, doing things to draw people. I've given Bibles away, and you reward people that bring guests and visitors, and you give Bibles away. We gave four-wheelers away. We had a day where we had about 2,600 people come to Sunday school, and we gave some four-wheelers away. And people liked the idea of getting those four-wheelers. I had pink ones for the girls. We had big ones for the dads and the big grandmothers. And We had mid-range four-wheelers and little, I mean, some of the cutest little four-wheelers. I even had them for the kids 4 and 5 years of age that were battery-powered, and boy, it drew some attention. We had at one time at a church where I was, we had a big monster truck come in and do a demonstration. He was called the Holy Roller. And that big old monster truck was driving over the top of crushing cars, and people came. We gave goldfish away here. I think we gave goldfish away here a year and a half ago. I think Uriah helped me with the whole thing. He got me all those goldfish ready, and some of your goldfish are still living. And don't take it out on me. Take it out on Uriah. He went and picked the healthiest goldfish he could find. Most parents say, sure, my kid can have a goldfish as long as it's dead in a week. But we gave goldfish away. Wasn't long ago, we gave away a 3-foot-long Milky Way bar. We've given bicycles away, but we're promoting things. We're giving things away. It's a product. It's something that's made available to draw people. In the passage of Scripture that I just read to you a few moments ago from Mark chapter 2, it says, and again he, referring to Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, as he preached the word unto them. The story is that Jesus was in Capernaum, and it says it was noise that he was there. In other words, the word spread. Matter of fact, it was promoted that he was there. And so many people showed up that they didn't have room for them all. He was at a particular house, and people started filling up that house, and they not only filled up the house, they filled out up the yard around the house, and people could not get to where Jesus was because there were so many people there. The Bible says he preached to them. Somebody got all fired up about this thing. The Bible says there was a lame man that lived somewhere nearby there. He could not carry himself to that meeting. They went and they made a makeshift stretcher. And four men put that lame man on the stretcher, and they hauled him back to the meeting, and they couldn't. The Bible says there were so many people there, it uses the word the press. If you come to our church and sit in our auditorium, you understand the press. There's so many people, you can't hardly move. Many of you are learning a talent that you never had before. You used to walk straight, but because of church, you walk like this. You're learning how to scoot to the side and make way. Well, there were so many people at this meeting that they couldn't get to Jesus because the people were pressed in. So a guy had an idea, said, well, we'll get this guy to Jesus. They went up onto the roof of the place and tore a hole off in the roof and then lowered him down. Why? Because there were a lot of people that had been drawn to that place. You've heard me say this before, and you'll hear me say it again. You go to Walmart, and there are so many, especially on a Saturday. You go down here to our Walmart on a Saturday, there are so many people, you don't know what to do with them all. You go to a basketball game, a football game, a baseball game. You go to the races, and there are people everywhere. Well, it's time that there be that kind of crowd at the church, and the church house ought to be full. But in this story, and this fellow that they lowered down that was crippled, this guy gets saved and he gets healed, and they were all amazed, the Bible says. In Mark chapter 2, verse 12, we didn't read it, but it says they were all amazed and glorified God because they'd never seen anything like that before. And what drew those people there? Now, here's a good thing about that story. They were not giving a book away. They weren't giving four-wheelers away that day. There were no goldfish included. What was it? The Bible says that it was noised that he was in Capernaum. You know who the he is? That's Jesus Christ. That's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That's the one that has the answers to all problems. The word had spread that Jesus was there. I will call the sermon, Jesus, Our Promotion. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm totally convinced if we'll let people know that Jesus is here, we can get a crowd. They just need to know. You say, what are you talking about? People, I believe, will come to a church where God is working. When God shows up, it makes all the difference in the world. Oh, but that crowd had been drawn, and the promotion, if you will, was Jesus Christ himself. Now, let me talk about that for just a little while. First of all, a church can't do that unless Jesus is there. It says in Mark chapter 2, verse 1, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days." He entered that place. Jesus was in that place. Jesus was in Capernaum. Jesus was in that house. And I happen to believe this. I happen to believe it is obvious that Jesus is in this house. I happen to believe that Jesus Christ is represented and he is here. I believe the Spirit of God is in this place. I believe the Word of God, which is the representation, Jesus is the Word of God and the Word of God is Jesus. And I believe at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church in New Bern, North Carolina, that Jesus is here. You see, a church can't have Jesus as a promotion unless he's there. And I'm not taking a shot at any church, but there are plenty of them out there that I don't think they have Jesus like they ought to have Jesus. So, in this place, we have Jesus. But you must have Jesus there for him to become the promotion. So, I think we have him. You say, well, what do we do, preacher? Let's promote that Jesus is here. Let's promote that. The Bible says, then, not only did he enter into that place in Capernaum, secondly, it says, and it was noised that he was in the house. Now, this was a house of a residence for this particular meeting, but when it comes to the house around here, we're talking about the house of God. We're talking about this place that houses the family of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. And it was noised, that means word got out. It was promoted. It was advertised, if you will. And I think then, since we know Jesus meets with us, since we know that Jesus is in this place, now all you got to do is get the word out. Now, they knew that Jesus was present, and they were letting it be known. They promoted Jesus. Now, listen, I'm going to mention some things, and these things are not wrong, but I want you to understand our primary promotion ought to be the presence of God. Our primary promotion ought to be the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. They didn't promote some preacher. They promoted Jesus. They weren't even promoting music. They were promoting Jesus. They didn't promote a nice building. They promoted Jesus. They weren't promoting necessarily the youth department or the nursery or the activities. They promoted Jesus. Now, there's nothing wrong with some of those things being discussed and promoted, but folks, always let those things be secondary and let Jesus be primary. You say, well, what? Hey, let me tell you. The best thing and the greatest thing in the world that could be said about the Twin Rivers Baptist Church is that if you go there, you will have a chance to meet with God. When you go there, you will see that God is in that place. When you go there, hey, the most important thing to be said about you and about me is not, hey, did you get a new dress? Hey, are you driving a new car? Hey, is that a new haircut? Wow, what kind of perfume are you wearing? Wow, you ought to be wearing perfume and you're not. The most important thing that could be said about me and you is that it is obvious that they've been with Jesus. Jesus has influenced them. They're behaving like Jesus. Let's promote Jesus. Let's tell people that here at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, Jesus is saving people. Let's tell people that Jesus is speaking to hearts at the Twin River Baptist Church. Let's tell people that Jesus is bringing conviction in the lives of people at our church. Let's tell people that Jesus is changing lives at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. You want to make an impact on people, you just tell people, I went down to church, the Word of God was preached, and at my church, God got a hold of my heart. It is changing me. It's rearranging me. I'm becoming better because I've been to a church where Jesus is exalted and Jesus is changing lives. Hey, come down to our church and hear them preach about Jesus. Come down to our church and find out how good Jesus is. Come down to our church and find out how great Jesus is. Come down to our church and find out how powerful Jesus is. Come to our church and find out how wonderful and fresh and kind and exciting and powerful and life-changing Jesus is. That, whether we realize or not, that'll draw a crowd. Because this old world is looking for something, and it's ending up with empty religion. And Jesus is not just religious. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the one that can take the drunk and sober him. He can take the immoral and help them to become moral. He can take the lost and save them. He can take the down and outer and get them to be an up and going, an up and moving upper. He knows what he's doing. He's got the ability. And the greatest thing that you could promote in the New Testament church is Jesus Christ. Tell people, come and see what Jesus is doing. Come and tell people what Jesus has done. Hey, tell them we're expecting him to do some more. I don't think he's done yet. I think the best is yet to come. And who is doing it? You and I get in on a little bit of it, but the one that's doing the work around here is Jesus Christ. I think he is our promotion. I think he is an unbeatable gift. I think Jesus is worthy and worth our coming to church. We give some trinkets away. There are people, you say, I'll tell you what, Brother Owens, if you were giving gold bars away, I think I could get some friends to come to church. Let me tell you something more valuable than a gold bar. It's salvation through Jesus Christ. You see, if a church wants to do right, Jesus has got to be there. Then we can noise abroad the presence of Jesus Christ. There are many stories in the Bible where this happened. In this story, you understand, Jesus came into town, word spread, he was there. The crowd in town were not just anywhere in Capernaum, they were where he was. Somebody said, there is a specific place where Jesus can be found. You know, there are all sorts of houses in Capernaum. But there was one house that was overflowing. There was one house that had so much, they didn't know what to do with all the people. Where was that house? It was a house where Jesus showed up. It was a house where they were talking about Jesus showing up. I think the same can be true about this house of God. Now, in the Bible, there are many, many stories actually talking about the promoting of Jesus Christ. If you think about it, you read in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, if we went to Isaiah 53, you would find out in Isaiah 53, there was the promoting of the coming of Jesus Christ. We call it the prophecy. But they were promoting Jesus. They were promoting a coming Messiah. They were promoting a King of the Jews. You know what happened? When that time came closer and closer, there were three wise men that traveled day and night following a star to do what? To get where Jesus was. I mean, we talk about it at Christmas time, and we talk about those that traveled to see him. You know what happened? Somebody promoted that Jesus was in Bethlehem. And there were men that traveled from distant countries. Some people say their travel took months. Traveled months to do what? To get where Jesus was. I'll tell you this, and I really believe this with all my heart. If Jesus, we knew he was going to be somewhere in this world, he was going to be there in June, I'd be heading that direction. Yeah, you'd have to find somebody to fill the pulpit that day, because I'd be on my way. I'd be on a journey to get to where he is. And let me tell you something, folks. If all the way back in Isaiah 53, the promotion of Jesus Christ could carry all the way into the New Testament to where a star pops up in the sky and there are people sitting on the edge of their seat just waiting to know when the Messiah was coming, and they would travel for months to get there and see him, I still believe in this day and age, if we will promote Jesus Christ, he can still draw a crowd. There are all sorts of people out there that say, you got to change the church. You got to change the music. You got to change your Bible. You got to change the old time way to draw a crowd. You do not. Jesus said, I am the Lord and I change not. And he's not changed and we don't have to change. Just uplift Jesus. Say, well, preacher, wonder if that does not work. We're going to uplift Jesus anyway. It will work, but if it didn't work, we're still going to promote Jesus. But in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, they promoted him. That promotion carried all the way through to the New Testament when those wise men traveled that far distance to see the Jesus that was promoted. In John chapter 4, the woman at Sychar's well met Jesus one day. Jesus said to this woman, give me to drink of this water. Now this woman was a Samaritan, And usually the Jewish people and the Samaritan people didn't have much to do with each other. So the woman said, "Sir, I'm a Samaritan. And you, a Jew, we're going to share water?" Jesus told her, said, "Well, ma'am, really what you need to do is you need to drink of a water that would quench your eternal thirst." He was talking about salvation. So the Bible says, she said, "I would like to drink of a water where I would thirst no more." She took a great big old gulp of salvation, and she got saved. And you know what? In John chapter 4, verse number 29, you know what she did? The Bible says she ran into town saying, "He's here! The Messiah's here! Jesus is here!" And the Bible says in John 4, verse 30, the town people flocked to see him. You know what that woman did? She promoted Jesus Christ. I'll give you some advice. Don't be afraid to tell people Jesus saved you. Don't be afraid of that. Don't you be afraid to use the word Jesus. You say, but in this day and age, it's not politically correct. Phooey on politically correct. When it comes to Jesus, we're to promote Jesus. That woman, she promoted Jesus Christ. As a result of it, the townspeople flooded to find out where Jesus was. Not only that, many of you have heard the story from Mark chapter 5, the maniac of Gadara. This was a man that was lost, and he ran naked in the tombs, cutting himself and burning himself. Jesus comes along, and the maniac of Gadara gets saved. And the next thing you find out, you find this maniac clothed and in his right mind, and he is at a lakeside service with Jesus Christ. They're probably singing a song, and the old maniac, you used to sing so many wicked songs. Now he's singing Amazing Grace. He's saved. He's cleaned up. And God is doing a work in his life. The Bible says this. After the maniac got saved in Mark 5:20, it says the maniac ran into Decapolis and told them, "Jesus is here." The Bible says in Mark 5:21 that much people gathered because of that. I'll tell you again. You know what the maniac advertised? Jesus. The woman at Sychar's well said, "He saved me," and the people came because Jesus was uplifted as a Savior. Now, the maniac, he got saved, but he changed when he got saved. The Bible said he'd been running naked, wasn't in his right mind. He gets saved, and it says then he's clothed and in his right mind. Now, your right mind is not your carnal mind, it's your spiritual mind. He put his clothes on. It changed his looks. And he's thinking right. And he went around telling everybody. People said, "Hey, what happened to you? Where'd you get the clothes?" He said, "I should have dressed right all along." They said, "You're thinking right. What happened to you?" He said, "Jesus." Well, look. Somebody could change a maniac. I'd like to see that. I really do believe if whoever the pastor was at the New Testament church that Maniac of Gadara joined, if I was that pastor, I'd be promoting one Sunday about, "Come hear the testimony of the Maniac of Gadara." I would be telling everybody, you know, the man that was running naked in the tombs, a wild man full of demons, you just come down to our church and you're going to hear his testimony. Hey, they may have wanted to give ice cream away that day, but I don't think they would have had to give ice cream on the bus, because you had somebody that had a changed life that was willing to stand up and say, "Look what Jesus did. Look, he changed the way I look. He changed the way I act. He changed the way I live. Look what Jesus did." You can't argue with a changed life. And I'm going to tell you again, folks, if we will promote Jesus, I believe that God will bring a crowd in. You say, why? Because God wants his son glorified. And you heard me say this earlier. Hey, I'm not against us talking about our music program and our youth program. I'm not against us talking about the book that we're giving away or having some ice cream Sundays. I'm for every bit of that, and we'll use that. But I want the primary promotion of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church to be the old-time religion. I want it to be the Word of God. I want it to be the Son of God. I want to just promote Jesus. And you know something? I really do believe a church that everybody would just go around testifying about, "Hey, yeah, come to our church and see what Jesus is doing out there. It's supernatural what he is doing. Hey, God met with us in our services." There are a lot of churches where they don't feel that way. They walk in bored, they walk out bored, and they say, "Well, what's this really all about?" Hey, it's all about Jesus. And if Jesus is being exalted properly, it's attractive. There was a leper that Jesus met in Mark chapter 1. Jesus healed that leper in the city of Galilee. And now Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, verse 44, he said to that leper, he said, listen, I know I've touched you, I saved you, I healed you. And Jesus said to that man, let's not make a scene about what just took place. Well, the leper could not keep his mouth shut. And the Bible says in Mark 1:45, he published what happened. As a result of it, Jesus could not even walk through the streets of Galilee without a throng of people. Why? Because one leper got saved and healed. Jesus said, let's keep this hush-hush. You say, he should have obeyed Jesus. I'm kind of glad that he didn't. I mean, he couldn't hold it in. He couldn't stop. Here's a guy that could not walk, and he was on his way to hell, and he gets saved, and now he can walk. And Jesus said, let's not spread this. How do you not spread that you can walk now? You can't sit there in your wheelchair. You can't lie on the ground. He was up bebopping around. People say, well, what happened to you? He went, oh, I can't tell you. I can't tell you. I can't tell you. I can't tell you. Jesus! Look what Jesus did. People said, Jesus? Yeah, Jesus is here. Next thing you know, everybody's going around and saying, where's this Jesus? Where is this Jesus? He can take somebody that's lost and save them. He can make the blind see. He can make the lame walk. He can take somebody that's on their way to hell and get them on their way to heaven. He can change a drunk daddy. He can change a wrong mama. He can change a rebellious teenager. Everybody's saying, we gotta find him. We've got to get to him. The greatest promotion of the New Testament church is not a hot dog or a piece of bubble gum. And I'm not against hot dogs, and I am against bubble gum in the church. But let me tell you, the greatest promotion is Jesus Christ. The Bible says that in that story, this throng of people started gathering around Jesus in Galilee. It says in Mark 1:45, they came from every quarter of the region. That means they didn't just come from a couple city blocks. They didn't just come from New Bern. They came from this county and that county and this county and that county. They said it's worth the drive to go somewhere where the Word of God is preached with fire and the Spirit of God comes down in fire and God is changing lives. That's what they said. It got so packed they couldn't find an auditorium in Galilee that would handle them. You know where he ends up? In the desert where there was nothing stopping the crowd. I happen to believe if you go someplace where Jesus is promoted, you probably will keep on running out of space. You ought to. Now, if all you do is promote hot dogs, you probably limit yourself there. But not with Jesus. I want to hurry. There was a deaf and a dumb man in Mark chapter 7. He could not hear. He could not speak. And Jesus heals him. And again, in Mark chapter 7, verse 36, Jesus said, let's not make a big deal about this. In Mark chapter 7, verse number 36, at the end, the guy could not contain himself. Look, if you could not speak, and suddenly you could, how could you keep your mouth shut? I mean, some of you, how long can you be dumb? Yeah, that's not a good comparison. Because some of you got a pretty good record going here. This man that could not speak and could not hear, Jesus heals him, saves him, and Jesus said, let's not make a big deal out of this. The next thing you know, this guy is yelling at the housetop. And the Bible says in Mark 8:1, it says, the multitude that was gathered to Jesus Christ was a very great multitude. What happened? He promoted Jesus. He promoted Jesus. Hey, let's promote Jesus. Now, I'm glad we have a nice building. But that building is not as important as Jesus. Let's promote Jesus. We've got some nice pews and things we'll use over in our new building, and we've got some nice things around here. But the great promotion is Jesus Christ. Thank God for our choir. Thank God for the music program. And I'm glad for us to talk about our music, but I got to tell you something. More important than you and I singing is Jesus being exalted and Jesus being uplifted. We have some great activities around here. I mean the teenagers, the King's Kids, the Flyers Club. Just this month, every fantastic activities. And there's nothing wrong with talking about those activities. But I'm just old-fashioned enough to believe we can still promote Jesus. I had a whole, we have a spring and a fall attendance campaign. And I've been doing that for years and years. One year, I was out of money. I didn't have any money. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't give away any Bibles or trinkets or anything. I had a whole program called Do It for Jesus. Say, what did you get? Well, you just did it because you love Jesus. And you know something? It worked. It worked. Now, we'll still give away trinkets. But those trinkets, everything, it's all secondary. The great thing that you and I have to offer that lost and dying world is Jesus Christ, the Savior. The great thing that you and I can give that world that won't rust out, it won't burn out, it won't wear out, it won't give out, it is Jesus Christ. And we can go to the bank on that. Hey, if we don't have a nice building, if we don't have enough parking, if we don't have any of the other monetary things we need, we still have Jesus, and He was able to draw a crowd while they were meeting in the desert. They promoted Jesus. It's not bad to advertise our church's positives. It's not bad to advertise our church's ministries as long as we advertise Jesus more. I like that song. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Every morning when I wake up, usually by noon, God somehow very graciously and very kindly has made it so I wake up the minute my eyes might not even be open, but the minute I'm conscious, I say this: Good morning, Lord. I love You. Please help Mrs. Owens not to be snoring so loud. And God doesn't always answer prayer, I'll guarantee you. Folks, we have a lot of precious things. I'm glad you have your wife. I'm glad you have your husband. I'm glad you have your kids. Well, I'm glad that we have a piano. And boy, I was thinking Sarah was going down to what we call the office, the financial office, and she was looking for a copy machine. We not only have one, we have two, we have three, we have four. I look around and we've got chairs everywhere and pews everywhere, and God's giving us equipment and things and buses. We got so many buses out there right now, and we own them all. I mean, we're having buses given to us. God is blessing us. But nothing is as precious as Jesus. Jesus, 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 I've got Him on my mind. Jesus, 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 I've got Him on my mind. Jesus, 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 I've got Him on my mind. Oh, I've got Jesus on my mind. When all else fails, Jesus won't. Let's promote Jesus. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The sermon within itself should accomplish its own purpose. Get your eyes back on Jesus. You know, I don't know what you face tonight. I don't know what you're going through, but I will tell you this. Get your eyes on Jesus. Say, I have needs. Get your eyes on Jesus. Let's promote Jesus at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. Not a newfangled Jesus, just the old-time, true Bible Jesus. That will do the trick. How long has it been since you told Him you loved Him? When was the last time you got into a conversation with somebody about Jesus? I'm not talking about arguing standards. I'm talking about Jesus. I believe somebody here tonight ought to leave your seat, come down here, get on your knees, and just take a moment and thank Jesus for what He means to you. Somebody ought to come down here and tell Jesus that you love Him. Somebody ought to come down here and say, you know what, Lord, I will promote Jesus Christ. Again, I'm not against promotional items. We're going to use them. They're fine. They're wonderful giveaways. But the best and the most precious thing that you and I can give this world is Jesus. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, God has reached into my heart tonight and done something in my heart about this matter of promoting Jesus. Would you raise your hand to the sky and let God see it? You may put your hand down. Somebody in here needs to rededicate your life to Jesus. Hey, you shouldn't be giving your heart to other things. Does God have your heart tonight? Does Jesus have your heart? Maybe you need to rededicate your heart to Jesus Christ. I don't know. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Come if you will, if you need this altar. Maybe you need to come down here and just pray to Jesus. Maybe you need to come thank Jesus. Maybe you need to come down here and tell Jesus you love Him. Children, is Jesus at the top of your priority list? Teenager? This you say, oh, that's good for those old people. No, teenagers need to hear about Jesus. There are a lot of people in this life that ought to have your heart. But let me tell you something. Young man, young lady, adult man, adult lady, don't you be going around giving your heart to people without letting Jesus be at the top of your list. You will mess up every relationship you have when you put people before Jesus Christ. If Jesus is not in first place in your life, you're wrong and you need to get right with God. You say, but I'm not drinking booze. I'm not doing drugs. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Jesus that saved you having your heart. Does He have your heart and does He have it all? Jesus. Wow. Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. Hey, when we're working with our families, moms and dads, it's not always do we say, son, you're going to do this, or daughter, you're going to do this because I said so. Hey, bring Jesus into it. What would Jesus have you to do? How would Jesus like it done? What glorifies Jesus in it all? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.